DEI, Unconscious Bias. Hello and welcome to this lecture on DEI, that is diversity, equity and inclusion. And what I'll be looking at specifically in today's talk is unconscious bias. Don't worry if this term is new to you. My aim is to define this concept, as well as bring in some specific examples to help you understand this area of DEI. I'll also include some important data to support the claims made, and I'll be putting forward some solutions to help companies make the appropriate changes. I hope that by the end of the talk, you'll have a much better understanding of unconscious bias and why it's important in our places of work. So, let's make a start, and we'll begin with a definition of DEI. DEI refers to the presence of differences and how they're included and treated as equal in the workplace. As places of work become more globalized and societal roles begin to evolve, DEI practices are becoming increasingly more common and necessary. One of the most popular DEI approaches is challenging unconscious bias among staff, which is when decisions are made based on a person's belief or judgment about another. These assumptions can be as influential as having significant consequences on decisions such as an employee's schedule, benefits, and even pay. According to ACUS, the Advisory Conciliation and Arbitration Service, unconscious bias, also known as implicit bias, is an assumption or belief which is activated involuntarily without our awareness, but stems from our life experience. A typical example would be when a person thinks better of someone because they are similar in personality. Or conversely, when a person has a lower opinion of someone because they are different. Rule explains that if we choose to act on these prejudices, then the implicit bias becomes explicit. In the workplace, some of the most commonplace implicit biases are conformity bias and the halo effect. Asana clarifies that the former occurs when a person will change their beliefs to fit in with a group, perhaps due to peer pressure or in order to prevent conflict, whereas the latter is when we focus too much on the positive aspects of a person and thus overlook their negative traits. Both ageism and racism in the workplace are also widespread. As Asana reports, roughly 60% of workers over the age of 45 claim to have experienced age discrimination, while Rule reveals that in one study, 50% more white applicants were invited to a second interview, as well as those with anglicized names were treated more favorably than those with non-English names. Perhaps the most universal implicit bias of all is gender bias. According to Rule, gender bias is the way in which men and women are judged based on traditional male and female traits born out of society. This type of bias can influence several workplace practices, from recruitment to interaction, such as a panel choosing a male candidate over a female, despite having the equal amount of experience and skills. Although eliminating unconscious bias takes time, effective unconscious bias training has the potential to go some way to making more equitable and inclusive workplaces. Gino and Kaufman claim that despite the fact that most training simply focuses on the awareness of making snap judgments about people, effective training encourages staff to overcome their denial by reflecting on their prejudices and provides more opportunities to see the perspective of others through the expansion of inner circles, tracking of their interactions, and feedback with a mentor, so that a commitment to both personal and more long-standing systematic changes can be made within a company. One of the most adverse effects of gender bias has been unequal pay. The UK Office of National Statistics state that in 2020, the overall gender pay gap, which is defined as the difference between the average hourly earnings of men and women, stood at 15.4% and is markedly different among full-time, higher earners over the age of 40. This is because women tend to occupy more part-time jobs, which have lower remuneration on average, and also due to the lack of women filling higher-paid executive positions after the age of 39. Johnson Hess reports that the Institute for Women's Policy Research claim that women may not reach pay parity until 2059, and for Black and Hispanic women especially, it may not be before 2119 and 2224 respectively. Thus, the Government Equalities Office argue that shared parental leave and pay would help to close this gap, as it claims the gap widens dramatically after women have children, and supports the idea that people who consistently maintain full-time and full-year employment are more likely to receive higher earnings. Another solution put forward by Johnson Hess could be removing the social barriers that force women to choose occupations which are paid less, and instead encourage them to pursue professions which are highly valued and thus well paid, as well as encouraging salary transparency and negotiation, not only within a company but also within an industry. Overall, although removing unconscious bias within a workplace is extremely challenging, it is clear that it is essential, as leaving it unaddressed can impact both current and prospective employees and in turn significantly affect the future of a company. Unconscious bias training could be effective if carried out correctly, but there must also be considerable socioeconomic changes so that everyone, regardless of age, gender, or race, is treated fairly at their place of work. Thank you very much for listening, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to deal with those now.